It's a social media app called Yik Yak. And since it was launched in late 2013, it has spread and really spread across college campuses. Unlike Facebook, there are no user profiles. Messages are sorted by geographic location, and only posts within a mile and a half radius appear. So the thing is perfect for saying what you want about whom you want and staying anonymous. But that anonymity is posing problems at schools across the country. Nikki Sundstrom is director of social media at the University of Michigan. Nikki, Yik Yak isn't the only anonymous app out there. There's Whisper. How do they work?
Of course. Many of the apps that we're seeing come up naturally now are all around anonymity. And the popularity there is that you have a freedom of speech that you don't have on any other network. So if you post something, and lots of them are simply text-based at this time, it's harder to be anonymous if you're putting up pictures or video, of course. They just simply state the most mundane or random thought that they have. On Yik Yak specifically, they're able to only upvote or downvote. We do see some comments now at this point. But that's kind of the basis of how they work at this point.
So it kind of seems like being able to scrawl something on a stone wall somewhere on campus, and you've got your spray paint and you can say whatever you want. No one's going to know.
Precisely right. The one thing that separates something like Yik Yak or any of the geographically based apps, right, that are all about getting access to a certain thing based on your location, is that in Facebook and Twitter, we create our own networks. They're friends or family or people that we are interested in following, and then they have to follow us back in order to get that commentary. Yik Yak's not like that. So anyone within your geographical domain has access to that information.
We know Yik Yak's founders, a couple of fraternity brothers from South Carolina, and they say they wanted to create a more democratic social media network. But what some see as exercising free speech, others see as cyberbullying of the worst kind. What are you hearing from campuses? I know we've even had some issues here in the state of Michigan. What's being talked about?
Yeah, I just recently returned last night from South by Southwest, the tech conference in Austin, Texas, and I had the opportunity to meet the co-founders of Yik Yak, and it was perfect timing. And I wanted to ask them just that. Right? So how are you seeing universities? Are they policing it? Are they monitoring it? Are they engaging? I have my own opinions on how we're currently acting at the University of Michigan in this network and watching others. But the perception and the reality of what Yik Yak has become from the co-founders and from the people that are on the universities, it couldn't be further apart.
All right. So tell us, what do they say?
They truly see themselves as a competitor with Twitter. Huh. And they say that they are location and news first and anonymity second. Vice versa, right? What we're all seeing. We see people just spitting out anything they want with little consequences, right? They think there is none. And if you talk to the co-founders, they're like, no, what we see is people providing, you know, updates about how the busing lines are and which class is good or bad. And we see some of that here at the University mm-hmm. of Michigan as well. And we're also unique in the fact that we've had two big Yik Yak breaking news events here in Michigan. You know, one at MSU where we had a shooting threat, and that person's now been prosecuted mm-hmm. With false terrorism threats. And then right at Eastern, and that comes from a completely different angle. So now
tell us about what happened at Eastern.
Yeah,
that's those professors.
Exactly. We have leadership or faculty members now feeling like they're working in an unsafe work environment.
So if I'm right, these were professors in the middle of teaching a class, and then they discovered that all kinds of things, not complimentary to say the least, were being put up on Yik Yak by people even as they were teaching.
Very true. And you have to put this into the broader context. There's many things that people in the course of daily gossip mm-hmm. say all of the time. I know I have friends even on Facebook where I look twice and think, why are you putting that online for people to read? But with Yik Yak, there's no way to identify these people. In a closed classroom session, it's easier to kind of pinpoint someone. But with these professors, they were being judged and critiqued on a variety of issues. And when it was brought to light by a student to them, they felt harassed. I mean, it is. It's blatant harassment. But then how do we look at that in a larger context? I mean, when someone tells you that, you know, the lady down the street doesn't really like you, but she didn't put it in writing, mm-hmm. I mean, what are the consequences of that?
And we're talking free speech. And if I'm a student sitting in a class and I want to say something nasty and snarky, I guess it's my right. I'm not threatening to harm the person. I may be saying very derogatory things. Where's the movable line between free speech and cyberbullying that needs to be stopped?
I get the question about Yik Yak now here on campus a lot. We've been watching it since April of last year. We continue to kind of check in and see what's happening. And getting the opportunity to speak to the co-founders, you know, I was able to learn a lot about how quickly the MSU example, I know it was released in the papers that they actually contacted the university within the course of 2 hours. You know, they had this person arrested. With the shooting incident at FSU, they were able to say that students actually knew about the incident 9 minutes before they got their text alert from campus safety because of Yik Yak.
This is at Florida.
At Florida State. What they also saw was neighboring universities learn about the incident and then offer condolences and support because of Yik Yak. That's why they're saying they're news and not gossip.
I'm talking with Nikki Sundstrom, who's director of social media at the University of Michigan, about these anonymous social media apps such as Yik Yak, and there are others. And, you know, the fact that the posts are anonymous, the app won't identify users without a court order or a subpoena or a search warrant, and then you as a school might say, well, we're going to block access on our Wi-Fi, but that's going to raise A, free speech concerns, and B, the kids are accessing it on their smartphones anyway. So what options do you have besides hoping that people take the high road?
You know, there's a couple of things that make me feel a little bit better. We're being proactive. Watching the app so early in the game and having a central social media office is so valuable to us because we're able to have a staff that we can continuously look. There's a new app that pops up every day. I mean, it's just crazy. And we can keep a pulse on what's happening. We can watch the conversation of the students. We don't actively necessarily engage in anything that's concerning, but I did learn just this morning from Residential Life that organizations on campus like Pulse are watching things and speaking out just like they would if somebody called their office or they saw a concern on campus. They're looking at Yik Yak, and if somebody is issuing something that's of concern, maybe that they're depressed or they're contemplating suicide, they're reaching out and saying, you know what, your life matters, and if you need help, reach out to us. So we're using traditional methods to continue to help our students and grow that community. And now what I want to do is help promote that because I think it says a lot about our students.
What do you do in the event of there was one instance, not at a Michigan campus, where there was a posting basically saying, let's have a gang rape at the Women's Center. What do you do as a university, as an organization about that? Because, again, don't know who it is. Where do you begin?
Yeah, one of the interesting things about Yik Yak and anything that gets wildly popular in a very rapid pace, it was very evident yesterday in meeting the co-founders that they're simply two college students that created, you know, something that just grew like wildfire. It's not monetized yet, and I think that there's growing pains, obviously. They were very clear and adamant about describing their natural language process that they've now put in place. Anything like that now that comes up, you're prompted in the app, and it says, we see that you're using vulgar or threatening language. We monitor this regularly, and they have 24-hour people and staff now in place, and that local police and law enforcement also watch this app, and we take threats very seriously. So they want people now to think twice, and some of these instances I think happened before they were fully up and running and had these processes in place. So I'm hoping that that helps.
Almost like a tap on the shoulder. Hey there, we're watching. From Yik Yak to the user.
The question is, if somebody is really vehement about putting something like that out, is a little extra pop-up going to help? Probably not. But one of the things that Yik Yak does do, so you can upvote or downvote, the minute something gets 5 downvotes, it's pulled as a yak. And 5 is a pretty low threshold. And what we see here on campus with things is that our community really supports each other. A testament to why we probably haven't had very many large-scale incidents is that things get voted and kicked out of the community, and it moves at such a quick pace that we're off to the next thing.
So it gets snuffed out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. Do you foresee a day when respect and civility may return to social media and online commenting? Because we clearly see, whether it's a social media app, whether it's a website like Gawker, where you get people commenting on everything and anything, and they can get pretty mean. Or do you ever think there's going to be an era where we maybe bottom out and social media apps and internet becomes more constructive? Or has the horse left the corral?
You know, we've really opened the floodgates. in a way that no one's ever seen before because it's public speech. Everything that you put out there and, you know, from a social media director perspective, my best content, I can't be everywhere at once, is all user generated. So I'm continuously asking, you know, the 110,000 people we have on Twitter that are students or alumni or faculty or just fans to post their pictures and share with me. And that's tremendous. You know, we just had a bunch of students go on spring break. They were across the globe, you know, send us your shot in the M. So that's good. It's the ugly that comes with it. And I honestly can't tell you if it will ever end. The Washington Post recently covered the Justine Soko incident, you know, and everyone watched her in real time get fired nearly 2 years ago.
And we should recap. This is the woman who tweeted while she was on a trip
to South Africa, right?
Yes, and made a very insensitive comment. We'll just leave it at that.
Very.
And she landed, and the whole world had exploded.
The
on
whole
Twitter.
World. There were actually people waiting at the airport, right, mm-hmm. to cover it on Twitter. And she was completely oblivious to everything that was happening around her. But the most recent article that came out about that was by one of the people that jumped on that bandwagon, talking about the regret that now we see because it's prevalent everywhere. We had an instance here, you know, as I always refer to as like the first of the major incidents in Detroit, where at the time one of our automakers had outsourced their social media and an employee accidentally posted to the corporate account using vulgarity, mm-hmm. right, and was instantaneously thrown out. It's almost become like this very popular thing to watch people go down in flames online. But then when you go back and you evaluate people like Justine or other people that were fired or were a part of these horrible instances that were publicly, mm-hmm. you know, lived online, they have symptoms of PTSD. They're afraid to go out in public. You know, that's awful. That's absolutely horrible. So I hope that bringing awareness will help. And that's what I'd love to do with instances like Pulse speaking out on Yik Yak is say, you know, as a campus, we're standing up together. Last fall, we did a blog post from Central Social just talking about Yik Yak, saying that we were monitoring it proactively and tips for students to use it, right? Like, let's stick together. Let's support each other. Let's downvote things that aren't representative of who we are as leaders and best.
Nikki Sundstrom, Director of Social Media at the University of Michigan. Good talking with you, Nikki. Thank you so much.
Thank you.